Appreciate the prayer. Ask for continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn with me to my text, you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's a familiar passage, and I don't intend to spend a lot of time with so much the subject of the armor of God, but I do want to use some of this to introduce what's on my heart this morning. Apostle Paul had, by the inspiration of the Spirit, had given us tremendous teachings on the doctrine in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Then in 4, 5, and 6, we find very practical teachings. In the middle there is speaking about the gifts that God has given us for the perfecting of the saints and so forth. But then he gets into very practical matters. So when we come to chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, feel, I know it's by inspiration of the Spirit, but Paul, his heart comes through in this. Finally, my brethren, not so much that this is the last thing he's going to say, but here's what I want you to remember. Here's what I want you to take away from this. And I pray that each Sunday when we come, for everyone that makes the effort to come out to the house of the Lord, that they get something that they can take away with them and that will help them in the week ahead. Amen. You know, we've got about an hour, if you count the song service, about an hour and a half of worship here one time a week. Of course, we have our Bible study on Wednesday, but as far as... those that come on Sunday morning, we've got about an hour to hear something from the Word of God. Now, I hope that's not all of the Word of God that you get all week. We need to be reading on a daily basis. We need to be feeding our souls. We don't need to be starving, having a starving soul to show up on Sunday morning, because you know what happens when you don't eat for a long time? You can't handle a good meal right away. You have, you know, when you fast for a long time, you have to break the fast gently, don't you? Well, you know, we need to keep our soul in tune. We need to keep our soul fed on the Word of God so that we can receive what is to be received on Sunday morning and carry it with us in the week ahead. You know, as I pray and ask the Lord to give me what to preach, I have almost no idea of what you've been through throughout the week. Now, I've got an idea of what's going on, but you know, there's a million little things that happen each week I have no clue about. But God does. And He can put on my heart what to preach. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't necessarily need this right now. And tomorrow morning you might. Or the next day you might. So just trust that the Lord and the way He has set up His church and the way He directs His ministry and the word that He has given us, just trust that God knows what we need. And if the church is functioning like it should, then you'll have what you need. Right? All right? So let's treasure up this word. Let's be ready. Let's have a mind that's ready to receive the word and a heart that's open and able to receive what the Lord would have us to hear. All right, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, we'll stop right there. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How much might does He have? Unlimited. He's got it all. But one way to hinder his might coming through us is to try to rely upon our might. You know, though the Lord be high, Psalm 138, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Those that are trusting in themselves, those that think they can handle it, they're kind of not close to the Lord. Let's put it that way. All right? So, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is able to supply us with all that we need for the trials of life. But that exhortation, that is an exhortation, right? If you want to call it a command, I won't fall out with anybody about that. But it's an exhortation, which means he is exhorting us to obey this. This is truth. It'll do you good. But he's exhorting, and the Spirit, through Paul, is exhorting us, reminding and exhorting us to follow this exhortation. Be. So what does that mean? We might not be. It's a choice, isn't it?
Right.
How often are we choosing to be strong, to cast our dependence upon him and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Or are we trying to make it with our own might? If I try to make life in my own might, I might as well stay in bed. I won't make it very far. Okay? Be, that's an exhortation, which means we might not choose to do that. Now, that's not a small thing. Because it's a choice, it's a frame of mind, it's an attitude. It's if we're going to equip ourselves to face what we have to face in this world, and primarily I'm talking about the temptations and the lusts of the flesh, the ungodliness that we encounter in the world, and Satan himself, if we're going to face that the way we should, we're going to be remembering our weakness, remembering our need of the Lord, and as he goes on later in this chapter, putting on the whole armor of God. In other words, we're going to arm ourselves against what we're facing in the world. I'm no match for it. You're no match for it. You can easily be consumed with the ungodliness that's in this world. But if we're trusting in the Lord, if we're arming ourselves against the flesh, if we're reminding ourselves of what we have in the Lord, if we're reminding ourselves that our strength is in the Lord, and that he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, he is offering to us, and I use that word carefully and guardedly, he is offering to us what he has that we need to help us in this life. Now, that thought, you can go all the way back to John 14. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, when he was teaching his disciples some of those last lessons before he went to the cross, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless." And that word comfortless means as orphans. So what he's saying is, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as someone who doesn't have anybody to care for them. I'm not going to leave you as someone who's destitute of help. I'm not going to leave you that way. He says, I'll come to you. And he's talking about in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Or another word that the English has translated into later in John 1 John chapter 2, he says, our advocate. When Jesus speaks in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, he uses the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. All of those are referencing that same one, that Comforter. Later in 1 John chapter 2, when he speaks of the Advocate with the Father. If any man sin, we have an Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's the same word. We have help while we're going through this life. We just need to tap into it, right? John chapter 15, he talks about abiding in me, continuing in my word, remaining in him. Those three words are very significant in John chapter 15. Abide, continue, remain. Why? Because we're the branches on the true vine. And the branch receives what it needs in the way of nourishment and refreshing. The branch receives it from the vine. He said, I am the true vine, ye are the branches. All right? So when we think about what we need is to abide in him so that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right? Now let's go back into the Old Testament and notice, well, let's see, first of all, the Apostle Peter, as we've come to the close of the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. A lot of good practical teaching that he's giving us right there. Humble yourselves, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Isn't that encouraging to know he cares for us? And that we can cast whatever it is that's troubling us, whatever our cares might be, we can take them to the Lord. You know, the songwriter said, take it to the Lord and leave it there. Have you learned how to leave it there? Now, I'm not saying your circumstances change immediately, but I'm going to tell you, there's a great burden that comes off of our heart when we take it to the Lord and rest in his promise that he'll be with us, he'll strengthen us, he'll help us. All right? But verse 8 is what I'm after. Be sober, be vigilant. You know, I started in Ephesians 6 where he's about to tell us about the armor of God. Why do we need armor? Because there's a battle. Are you mindful of that battle each day? Satan's out to get you. There's so much ungodliness that can lead us astray. We've got our own fleshliness, our flesh that we have to contend with on a daily basis. There is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And if we're not mindful, if we're not proactive about that, then we'll just float down the stream of life and take whatever comes. But if we want to honor our Lord and live a life that says, thank you, Lord, for suffering and dying to redeem me from my sins, if we want to live a life that shows to the world that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to follow his word, then we have to be proactive about this. We have to be mindful that there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. We have to be mindful of the fact that we need the help of the Lord. We need his strength. We need to, in order to be strong, we need the power of his might. Okay? So Peter comes along at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5 and tells us something about what the devil's going about doing. You know, one time somebody said, you know, I can't think of any good thing to say about the devil. And an old sister spoke up and said, well, he's not lazy. And he's not. He's diligent to try to trip us up, to try to trap us. Now, we've got enough to contend with our flesh. But we've also got the influence of the world, and we've got the devil. And what does Peter say the devil's doing? He says, be sober, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, vigilant, right? That's not passive. That's being proactive, vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. Oh, Well, that labels him, doesn't it? He's not working for our good. I don't care how good and how enticing his words are. He is our adversary. He's our enemy. Okay? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. If I heard a lion roaring outside that door, I wouldn't want to go there. Would you? Maybe if you had an arsenal with you, you might, but I wouldn't want to go there. I think I got enough sense to just stay away from something like that. But your adversary, as the devil, as a roaring lion, all right, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what gives the devil delight in trying to destroy the lives of God's people. Now, you can read that and you can be fearful, or you can read that and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your protection. I need what you have promised to provide for us. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So as our adversary goes about seeking whom he may devour, what I like to do is match up scripture with scripture. Yes, the devil's going about seeking whom he may devour. All right? But do you remember 2 Chronicles 16 and 9? 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Now, I'll give you a sketch of it, and we may go back and turn to some of that. But King Asa, earlier in his life, as he was king, he'd been king about 30-something years. And a great host came against him. And he cried out to the Lord for help. And guess what happened? There was a tremendous deliverance. They were tremendously outnumbered. And part of what he cried unto the Lord was, Lord, it meaneth not nothing to you to deliver with many or few. And they were greatly outnumbered, and yet God gave them a tremendous victory. God fought for them and helped them tremendously. I suspect the Lord probably fought more than they did, don't you? All right? But he delivered them from that great host. I mean, it was a severe defeat of that great host because he cried out to the Lord. And the man of God came to him after that and said, listen, the Lord is with you as long as you're with him. Now you let that sink in. I hope you'll carry it with you this week. The Lord is with you as long as you're with him. Isn't that a powerful promise?
Yes.
When we know that there's a battle, when we know that the devil's going about seeking whom he may devour, but if we're with the Lord, if we're walking with him, if we're seeking to do his will, he is with us. But let me give you the rest of the story. Later on in Asa's life, there was another conflict.
Yeah.
And instead of Asa crying unto the Lord, he gathered up his silver and gold and sent it to that foreign nation to appease them, to win, to keep them. He hired somebody to come after his enemy, all right? The point is, he didn't trust in the Lord that time. He tried to use his means that he could gather together to get him out of this problem. So the Lord sent the man of God again, the seer, unto Asa. And in 2 Chronicles 16:9, he says, in this thou hast done foolishly. He said, for the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's what matches up with 1 Peter 5 and 8. He said, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, when we're trusting the Lord and when we're asking for him to help us in our times of trouble, he knows it. He's there. He will help us. We have his promise. We have his faithfulness. We have his power. We have his love. We have his mercy. When we're with him, he's there for us. Isn't that wonderful? So, do you think there's anything you'll face in life that's going to just absolutely consume you if you're trusting the Lord for your deliverance? The answer to that's no, by the way. There is nothing that we would face in life if we're trusting him, if we're looking to him, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. There's nowhere this doesn't apply. To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, that brings us into the picture as far as what our responsibility is. Okay? And so that's what he tells us. So when we come back to the idea of in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are we making that choice to be strong in the Lord? Or are we ignoring those things? Are we just floating down the stream of life and letting life bounce us around and toss us wherever it will? It makes a tremendous difference. If you remember, now this is New Testament language. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the Old Testament, I'm sure you remember the book of Joshua, when God called Joshua to lead Israel after Moses was dead, and he told him to be strong and of a good courage. Now, he says that several times. He uses a little different verbiage. One time or elsewhere, he would say, be strong and very courageous. Be strong. There's that be again, isn't it? There's that exhortation. But I want you to notice that that the Lord just didn't say that without telling him a reason why he should be willing to do that. Okay? And that same reason that applied to Joshua applies to us today. All right? If we want to be strong in the Lord, notice Joshua. He's telling in Joshua chapter 1, he's telling Joshua that he's calling him to lead Israel. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Listen, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now he starts to get into why Joshua could trust what the Lord's telling him to do. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Wow. If God told you that he would not fail you, nor forsake you, do you think you could do his will? Again, it's not going to be in your strength. It's going to be in the power of his might. But as long as we are with him, he's with us. You know, let's see. Peter also said, who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Okay? He'll be with us as long as we're with him. We can trust that what he lays upon our heart to do, he will help us to do it. He will help us to be faithful to him. And so, after he tells him, I'm going to be with you, I will not fail you, I will not forsake thee. Then he says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. All right? Verse 9, I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whither thou goest. Back up to verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Be strong and in the power of his might. Now, was God faithful to Joshua? Did God forsake Joshua? How do we know that? Well, the word of the Lord tells us that. All right? If you go to the end of the book of Joshua, chapter 23, verse 14. He's warned the people, if they turned away from the Lord, they would not have the success that they needed. But in verse 14, he says, and behold, now this is at the end of Joshua's life. He had been leading the children of Israel. He brought them by the grace of God, by the power of God. He brought them into the promised land, divided their inheritance unto them. And he says, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. What's that mean? What's that mean? He's going to die. Okay? He's going the way of all the earth. From dust thou art, and dust unto dust thou shalt return. He's going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Wow. Not one thing that God promised had failed. That's a pretty good record, isn't it? You know what? His record is still spotless. He's still able. He still loves us. This word still applies. Be strong and very courageous. Do you know what the devil would just love to see? The devil would just love to see Piney Grove Church just chasing after the things of this world, never giving the Bible an opening, never reading the Bible throughout the week, and then complaining about all the things in life. The old devil would just be smiling all over wherever he is. And so I'm afraid so many people are just handing it to him on a silver platter. May God help us to be strong and courageous. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So that we can let our life. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying that the devil would be pleased if that were the case. And so what we want to do is that we want to be faithful to God. He's the one that loves us the most. He's the one that's done the most for us. He's the one that can keep us. He's the one that can help us. He's the one that knows everything about our needs.
That's right.
You know, I might know something, a little something about somebody's needs, and I might be able to do a little something to help out. But God knows everything. And he's able to do anything that's according to his will. He is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when we think about the exhortation from Scripture to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, we can take example after example in the Old Testament. And we can look and see how that God exhorted them, how that they followed him and they were blessed, and God never failed them. And we should glean from that. Our takeaway from that is should be, we can have the same blessing today. We can let our light shine. We can be faithful to him. Because it doesn't depend upon our strength. It doesn't depend upon our resources. It depends upon our trusting in the Lord. And whatever his will is, that's what will be blessed. All right? So let's come back to Ephesians 6 now, just for a minute or two, in closing. Now that we've talked about, he says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and we looked at how that's to be done by trusting in the Lord and staying close to him, and he'll stay close to us. All right? Now, when you come back to this armor of God, and I don't want to spend a lot of time with the symbolism, I just want what each piece of that armor represents. You see, it's the armor of God. It's from him. And in every respect, you can see how that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that protects us. All right? And it's armor that we're to put on so that we can face the battle. If you remember, there's no armor for the backside. We're to be facing the battle. We're to be faithful to God. We're to be pressing into the kingdom, moving forward. And so all of this armor is for the front. But that doesn't mean we don't have protection from behind. There's an Old Testament word called rearward. R-E, reward. Rear reward. Okay? And in the Old Testament, when the armies would march into battle, there was a group that would come behind as the army advanced. This group would come behind and take care of the consequences, whatever they needed to do as they moved forward. Well, God says, I'm that for you. In other words, he'll take care of the consequences. We just need to be faithful to him. I like that, don't you? As long as we're faithful to him, he'll take care of the consequences. Now, I make a point of this because so oftentimes fleshly thinking says, well, if I do this, it's going to create some other circumstances. But as long as we're trusting the Lord, he'll take care of those consequences. Amen. He'll take care of that. His command to us is to trust him and do his will. And so he begins to tell us about this armor. Take it to you, the whole armor, verse 13. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 6. Well, first of all, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the methods that Satan employs, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, How did Peter describe him? He's that one that goes about seeking whom? He's your adversary who goes about, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? Paul says, put this armor on, be strong and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil. We have the promise from God that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. All right? So he tells us, put that armor on. First thing he mentions, and I'm going to just try to be brief with this. First thing he mentions is truth. You know, if you're depending upon truth, truth will stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, he says. You could stand upon, if you've got truth, you could stand. Not everybody will agree with you, but if you've got the truth, you've got the Lord on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Right? If we've got the truth, if we're walking according to truth, if we're trusting in the truth, if we're depending upon the Lord, he said he'd be faithful to us, and let's depend upon it. All right? We can stand upon truth. Yeah. All right? The next thing he talks about is that breastplate of righteousness. Well, you know what? Isaiah says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But guess what? In the Lord, what the Lord has done for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, speaking about what the Father did through his Son for us. For he hath made him, Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you believe that? That through Christ, the position that we have in him is that we, in Christ, before him, we have been made. Not shown, we were shown, but not just shown, we were made the righteousness of God in Christ. He has paid all of our sins. He has made us just with God. You know, Job cried out a long time ago, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall man be just with God? That was the spirit in Job. That faith was saying, I know it's so, but how? He didn't know how it was going to be. Well, we know because we're on this side of Calvary. God sent his Son to this world to suffer and die, to shed his precious blood, to pay the ransom price for our sins. He paid it in full. There's nothing that can be laid to the charge of God's elect. So he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we are made the righteousness of God. Or use the language of Ephesians 1, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Do you think if we're accepted in the beloved, if he has made us the righteousness of God, do you think he'll hear our prayers?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. We have access to the throne of grace. We have access to the one, in Jesus' name, we have access to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now the devil will whisper in your ear, who do you think you are? You're such a sinner, God's never going to listen to you. That's the devil speaking. But the word of God says, he has made us accepted in the beloved. That he hath made him, Christ, to be, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Doesn't that do your heart good? Just to be reminded that in Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God. He took all of our sin upon himself. And he bore all of our sins upon the tree of the cross and put them away. And they'll never be remembered against us anymore. And so we can come boldly. Like Paul says in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not that we're arrogant or proud or anything like that, but that we have complete trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our sins. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what we need in this life, isn't it? Grace to help. And he's happy to give it to us when we're looking to him and trusting him and following him. As long as you be with him, he will be with you. All right? I'm about to run out of time here. The gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What I've just described to you, how that he has made us, had made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we remember, when we prepare ourselves, our walk, when we prepare ourselves to remember that we have peace with God. And bless your hearts, if Satan makes his accusations, they don't have any impact. As long as we remember that our peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given that to us. We need to remember that. We need to keep our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then the shield of faith. The shield of faith. He says, whereby ye may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you know he's always trying to discourage? I happen to believe that discouragement is the greatest tool, the while, the method, the greatest tool that Satan has. Discouragement. As long as we're depending upon God, realizing that we're weak, and I have to plead my ignorance to God many times. I'm not saying I'm an ignorant person, but what I'm saying is there are many things that I'm ignorant of. I have to plead to God, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me. Show me. Lead me. Teach me. Guide me. Protect me. It's all available to us in our Lord. Just hold up that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. They hurt. They discourage those fiery, all those things that Satan hurls at us from time to time to discourage us and to cause us to be cast down and to whatever he can do to deter us from being faithful to God. But we have help. He's given us faith. Now, sometimes we don't hold up the shield and we leave ourselves vulnerable. Hold it up. Take that faith. Use it. Use it. That's why this whole passage begins, be strong in the Lord. Be. In other words, we got to be mindful. We got to be remembering his goodness and mercy and being thankful, being grateful that God has blessed us to know him in a mighty way, that he is able to supply our every need. So hold up that shield of faith. And some people don't like that expression, hold it up. But listen, there were times that Jesus rebuked his apostles. Why is it that you have no faith? Oh, ye of little faith. You know, in the other place he said, where is your faith? Okay? In other words, he's saying, I don't see you using it. How often do we go through life not holding up the shield of faith, not using the faith that he's planted within us? He's worthy that we trust him for whatever we need. All right? Shield of faith. All right? Helmet of salvation. Helmet. Goes on your head, doesn't it? When we remember, the more we remember these things, you know, Paul said, In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, delivered, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." So keeping it in memory will save us from those present trials. Only the blood of Jesus saves us eternally, but remembering these things will save us in this time world from the challenges, from the things that come against us. It will deliver us from what we face on a daily basis. All right? So that helmet of salvation, remembering what we have in Christ, remembering who we are in Christ, remembering Satan is a defeated enemy. All he can do is tempt us and frustrate us. And I tell you, that can accumulate greatly. But the help we have in the Lord can deliver us. And remembering what we have in him will help us. Then he talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. So when we think about, he's given us his word for the purpose of equipping us unto all good works. Right? 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All right? So right there will go a long way. If we're regularly exposing ourselves to the Word of God, remembering what he's promised, reading his Word, treasuring it up, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and bless your heart, it'll save us. Save us from discouragement, save us from confusion, save us from so many things. All right? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, how did he respond? He wielded the sword of the Spirit. He responded with scripture. He responded with appropriate scripture. Okay? So when we think about, and then prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Oh, how we need prayer to strengthen us, to help us. So in all of this, Paul says, be strong. Finally, carry this with you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might. When Peter said, our adversary is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom may devour, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You're no might for this adversary. But in the faith, trusting God, you can be strong in the power of his might. That's our safety. That's our security. That's our encouragement. That's our peace. That's our joy. And so when we think about, we've got all the help. You know, there's so many things happening in the world today. There's so much confusion. There's so many things to discourage people and trying to divide people and all those kind of things. We need this more than any time I can remember. Now, I'm sure there have been other episodes in history where people banded together and trusted the Lord and the Lord delivered. But I'm saying right now in my lifetime, I feel like that we need this more than any time I can remember. God's people need to be joining together and getting closer together. Satan is just dividing in so many ways. He loves to do that. Bless your heart. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we think about all that we have in the Lord, we think about what he's done for us, what he's given to us, the power that he has for us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's word is faithful. I took you to an Old Testament passage where there was a king who earlier in his life, the word says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he did a lot of good things. But later on, he just decided he wouldn't trust the Lord. He would find another way to get his deliverance. And he failed miserably. He failed miserably. We don't want that for our life, do we? We don't want our life to be shipwrecked. We want our life to be faithful. We want to band together. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might so that we can give the proper witness to others. That others, not any glory to ourselves, but that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Because if you really understand the word of God, you understand the only way we can do those good works is him working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure and helping us and enabling us to be faithful to him. Okay? And so be strong. That's a choice. Okay? The lazy way is just to take whatever comes. But if you want to be like Daniel, he purposed in his heart ahead of time that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. And God honored that, and God blessed him so that he didn't have to do that. But if he'd have waited until the situation arose, it might have been different. He might have found himself in a situation where there'd have been bad consequences. But he purposed in his heart. May God help each and every one of us to purpose in our heart to be faithful to God, to be strong, and in the power of his might. He has all the power we need. May God help us to reach out to him for the help that we need to face whatever comes against us, however small, however big. He can handle it either way. It's not too much trouble for him to ask for you to ask him of the little things, and it's not too hard for him to ask for the big things. Whatever's his will, he can grant it. So finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May God bless you.